God bless you.
God bless you.
Talking about turning the radio in the car, the sad part is, if I turn the radio in the car, it's got static.
So I just have to let somebody put it on the station and leave it there. So when I'm driving, it'd be all right. Oh, me. You know, it's glad to be back in God's house tonight. It really is. It's glad to know that I'm saved, know that I'm going to heaven, and I know within my heart I am not going to hell. That right there is enough to make a good old Baptist shout. Hallelujah.
Or not so good.
Amen, I tell you. But, oh me. Well, come tonight, I got two messages, but let me see which one. I'll tell you what. Turn over to Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9. I'm going to go in chapter 9. I'm going to start reading that with verse 1. But I'm going to read three verses right here in Acts chapter 8. Chapter 8 and verse 1 down through 3. But you know, it's good to know that we can get into God's Word and we can read God's Word, and the next time we can do it and we can get in and read it again, read the same scripture and everything, and he has something new for us. This book never gets old. Never gets old. But here in Acts chapter 8, and we'll be reading 1 through 3, and then I'm going to go to chapter 9. But and I may skip around, but I'm going to try my very best to follow the leadership of the Lord tonight. So we just need to look at this scripture. And I always liked Paul's writings and what he's given to us. And I know that right now that as far as the portion from that I'm going to read this evening is not where Paul wrote, but it was Dr. Luke. But I also want to let us see where Paul, how he had come about, Saul had come about, and then go into verse chapter 9, and let's see what Paul is about then, and how God used Paul. But in verse 1 in chapter 8 of the book of Acts, it says, "And Saul was consenting unto his death. And at that time there was a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the region of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen's to his burial and made great lamentation over him. As Saul, he made havoc over the church, entering into every house and hailing men and women, committing them to prison." Now, Father, we want to thank you, Lord Jesus, for this day. Father, we thank you for the bright sunshine that you've given us this day, Father, that we can look upon that sunshine and that can remind us that we need to allow the light to so shine within our life into this dark and cruel world that we live in. Father, that they may look upon thy servants tonight, Father, around the world, and Father, upon the Christians, and Lord, the ones that are saved, Father, that the light can go forth and bring some kind of hope upon the people where their light illuminates around them. And Father, tonight we just want to thank you that where we can be able to stand here and Father, pick up thy precious word and read it. And Lord, I know this evening, God, I know not just this evening, any and every time that I get up, try to teach your word or preach your word, I know that I cannot do it alone. I cannot even speak without you, without the touch that you have upon me. So Father, we ask you now that you allow the fresh anointing from heaven to come down and touch me, Father. And Father, that I may preach, Father, what you'd have me to preach. So, Father, that we can all become closer to thee. And we just want to thank you for the services we had this morning. And thank you, Lord Jesus, for the days ahead where you're going to bless Faith Baptist Church. It's not because of us, but it's because of your Son, Jesus Christ. And Father, we want to thank you, and we want to praise you in Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen and amen. We know right here where Saul, he went about going into and causing havoc upon the church. He was causing all types of trouble to the church, to the Christians. And not only was he causing trouble, but he was also giving out his orders to go out and have Christians persecuted and yes, some murdered. Why did he do that? Because in whom he was serving at that time. And he was serving none other than Satan. He was serving none other than whom God threw out of heaven thousands of years before. Because I believe that Satan also knew that if God got a hold of Saul, and if Saul ever got saved, that he knew that he would have somebody that would have a backbone. That would have a backbone and stay true to him. We need some people today that will have a backbone that will stand up to the truth and tell people the truth. Because if I stand up here, if I don't give you the truth, then not only I'm not doing what God has commanded me to do, but I'm not doing what you expect me to do. And not only that, I'm not helping you. And I'm not helping not only you, I'm not helping the church, I'm not helping the community, I'm not helping anyone at all. If I just stand up here and give somebody a lullaby message. You know, I don't know if you remember or not, but here a while back, you know, I said something about that at one time I thought about going out and getting a case of pacifier and just passing them around in the church that I would go to and visit, because the people was just wanting to be pacified. They just want to be, I can't think of any word that I can put on it, but they just wanted somebody just to come by there and tell them how good they look. How much God loves them. And what all God wants to do for them. But never want to hear anything about the wrath of God. Don't want to hear anything about the judgment of God. You know, I'm no judge. I cannot judge anyone. You cannot judge anyone. We cannot be the judge because we serve the rightful judge. He has got that authority. He is the judgeship in our life. But we, the Bible plainly tells us that we can be the fruit bearers. We can be the fruit inspectors. And when somebody's life don't measure up, we are not supposed to go to them. First of all, we're supposed to go to God. And we need to go to God and ask God to help them and allow the Holy Spirit to convict the hearts. You know, sometimes we want to do it ourselves. The reason we want to do it ourselves is so we can come in and
look at me. Well, they can come in and look at me all they want to. I'm just a sinner, saved by grace. I'm not no better than they are. The only difference is I'm a sinner, saved by grace, or they're lost and going to hell. That's the difference.
We cannot judge people. Yes, we can be the fruit inspectors. We can look at their lives, and when we look at their lives, and if they're not living the Christian life, if they was once saved and everything, and if they're not living the Christian life, then we need to get on our face before God and ask God to teach them, to let them know what they're doing wrong. Because I'm going to tell you, when I first got saved, now, if they'd have come up to me and said, well, Donnie, you got to do this and you got to do that, I doubt if I'd have went to church. I said, well, I'm saved. I'm going to heaven anyhow. That's making a profession. But we shouldn't just need to make a profession. We need to possess it. We need to allow the Lord Jesus Christ to live in our heart. And I believe Satan, the devil, knew this about Saul. That if Saul ever met the Lord Jesus Christ, that he would have somebody that would stick with God like super glue. And he did. But over here in verse chapter 9, it tells us, And Saul, yet breathing out threatening and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest. He was threatening the disciples there. He was threatening the leaders at that time. He was threatening them. And not only that, he was threatening them to the slaughter. Other words, he was threatening them to say, you're either gonna go my way, or if you don't,
you're gonna go the hard way. And that was being murdered.
I'm sure it's somewhere in the Bible, but Paul give out orders. Paul had people under him, and he give out the orders to go and do what the devil wanted him to do. The devil wanted him to go out and destroy the work, destroy the church. But you know something? I thank God Almighty for Paul. I really do. Because Paul, and it says right, well, I'll get on down to that in a little bit. And then in verse 2 says, and desired to have him letters to Damascus, to the synagogue, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. In other words, what he was supposed to do, he was supposed to gather up the Christians, he was supposed to gather up the people that proclaimed Christ. He's supposed to gather them all up. the ones that will surrender to him and carry them back to where he just left, to where he got his orders from. And when he finally took them back to where he got his letters from, the high priest there, what did they do? No doubt they probably killed him. But every individual has to get on that road to Damascus. We have to experience the Damascus road in our life. We have to experience that. And once we experience the Damascus road, then we'll experience the love of God. It says right here in verse 3, "And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus. And suddenly there shined around him a light from heaven." When he was on that Damascus road, he was going to a synagogue, is where he was headed to. He was going to the synagogue to destroy the synagogue, destroy the work that the disciples had started, and where the Lord Jesus Christ had started. But he was headed, that's where he was headed. He was headed to destroy the work. But when he got on that road, he did not know what encounter he was going to face. He didn't know who he was going to face. He didn't know if he was going to face an army of Christians that was going to be standing there ready for Saul and his army. He didn't know that. But when he got there, no sign of the disciples, no sign of another army there. The only sign was the Lord Jesus Christ. When he came down, and when he touched Paul that day, and he fell to the earth, verse 4, and he heard a voice saying unto him, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" The Lord Jesus Christ is asking Saul, "Saul, Saul, I haven't done anything to you. Why are you persecuting me? I've loved you. I loved you when you was like persecuting the people. I loved you." He loved them back then as they was going out and persecuting the Christians. He loved Saul also. People can't understand that, but he did. It's not a living soul that he does not love. Because if he didn't love Saul and all Saul was doing, he sure wouldn't have loved me. But he did. He loved Saul. And that's the reason he came from heaven. And when he came from heaven, that light illuminated around Saul. Then his name become Paul. And he said, "Who art thou, Lord?" Right there. Right there. With that first part of that verse. And he said, this is Saul speaking. And he said, "Who art thou, Lord?" Paul was saved right there. We could end a chapter right there. We don't have to go no farther. We know that Paul was saved. Because he recognized who the Lord Jesus was. Because he called him Lord. I never called him Lord before I got saved. But Saul did. And he said, "Who art thou, Lord?" And the Lord said, "I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the prick." And he trembleth an astonished, saying, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And the man which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. How many of you can honestly say that you have felt the presence of God in services, or felt the presence of God in your life somewhere else, outside, maybe shopping or whatever, and somebody talking to you, or you speaking to somebody else, and you feel the presence of God, and you feel presence of the Holy Spirit? We can't see Him, but He's there. That's just like the Holy Spirit. That's what the wind represents. The wind represents the Holy Spirit of God. Like the, I believe this past Wednesday, even this afternoon after we got home, the wind got up. I could not see what was causing the limbs on the tree to move, but I could see the effect of it, of what was causing it. But I can see the limbs move. But as far as my eyes and seeing what somebody else was doing out there, I couldn't see it. See, but what the Bible teaches us, that it was the wind. It's the wind. And the wind represents the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost of God. And I'll tell you, I've been in the pulpit and I've been in services of where the preacher would be preaching, and praise God, just the Lord Jesus Christ would just send a good old cool breeze my way. He'll send a cool breeze your way. That's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit had been working on Paul's heart. And I don't believe that he just started on it. I believe the Holy Spirit had been working on Saul's heart ever since Saul was born, ever since Saul was birthed, ever since he took the first job he ever had, and that was going out and persecuting Christians. He had heard from God. And he trembled and astonished, saying, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And he trembled and astonished, saying, Lord, what would you have me to do? Now we can stop right there, and we can ask ourselves that question. Lord, what would you have me to do? At Faith Baptist Church. Lord, where would you want me to go this week? Lord, who would you want me to see this week? Lord, who do you want me to call this week? Lord, who do you want me to pray for this week? Lord, what must I do for thee this week? And if we'll go to him with that type of cry, I believe the Lord will give us an answer to who he wants us to go visit, who he wants us to pray for, who he wants us to call, or whatever. But he will send us out. We must be about the Father's business. That's what the Lord Jesus Christ says. The Lord Jesus says, I must be about my Father's business. What Paul is saying right here, as he trembled and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? He recognized who Jesus was because he knew him. He knew him in a personal way, a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, because he called him Lord. You don't know him in a personal way? Call him Lord. Call him Lord, and he will be, it will be personal to you. He will be personal to me if I call him Lord. But if I just call him Jesus, it's not as personal as when I call him Lord. But I need to call him Lord. Why? Because he saved my soul. And I want to do what I can for him. I want to be able to lay down all the crowns, all the rewards that I receive. I want to be able to lay them at his feet one day. And I come up short every day. I come up short every day. I know I do. It's not because I want to. It's just because of the sin that's all around us, and the sin that we carry with us each and every day. And that's the sin of the flesh. This flesh is not saved. The inner man is saved. And it says, arise and go up and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. We can say the same words right there. The Lord Jesus Christ, I believe, is saying the same words to us also. And the Lord said unto him, the Lord is saying unto us today, we must arise and we must go into the city. We must go into the surrounding area. We must go into the Walmarts. We must go into the Lowe's. We must go into the Sam's Club. We must go into the city. And when we get there, the Lord will tell us what we must do. And not only will he tell us what we must do, but if we obey him, then we have the Holy Spirit, or the Holy Ghost, whichever you want to call him. But it's a him, not a it. Whichever one you want to call him, Holy Spirit or Holy Ghost, either one, he will give you the words to say. And if we don't obey him, if we don't go, we are going to be the losers. We're going to be the losers. Because I've had people to come to me before and say, well, preacher, I got somebody I need for you to go see. They're not saved. They're not in church. Where they live at? Oh, they were my neighbors. You know what I tell them? I tell them, I'll go after you do your part. You have got to go first. If the Lord lays an individual on my heart, Lord Jesus didn't ask me to go say, well, you go see Bill and ask Bill to go. No. The Lord placed him on my heart. And it is the Lord that places him on my heart or on the individual's heart that he wants them to go out and visit and see somebody, an individual or this particular person or whatever. The Lord is going to prepare the individual's heart. Before we get there, I believe that. I've
seen it happen, and I don't pay no glory from it. I've seen it happen. I went with another dear brother of mine, and we went out.
We went to visit. And like I said, now I won't go by myself to go and visit nobody. I'll go to the hospital and I'll visit them in the hospital. But as far as going to somebody's home, I'm gonna do what the Bible says. I go two by two. I'm gonna have somebody else to go with me. Because the people today, they're just waiting to sue somebody because they're looking for money. They're looking for the easy way out. And you'll be surprised at the churches that are being sued today. But not getting into all of that. But I went with this individual. The Lord laid somebody on his heart. And he asked me, he said, "Brother Don, would you go with me?" One day I said, "Yeah, I'll go with you." And I went with him. When I went with him, it was the family that was there that afternoon. The husband and the wife and two children. Well, I felt like the Lord laid him on his heart so he needed to speak to him. But he carried me, kind of, you know, start picking his children. Start playing with them. Get them away from them. Because if you've ever been on visitation, you know that it's going to be something that's going to try to hinder. And you use a whole lot of time as the children. And the children don't mean anything by it. They don't know nobody. But see, the devil will use anything and everything if you keep getting better. Come to find out, they ended up coming to church. The whole family. About 3 or 4 weeks later, they finally ended up coming to the church. Him and his wife finally got saved that morning. And I know of another instance where a lady come to the church. She's already a Christian. Her mother was a Christian. But she had moved from where she was living at across town. So she come visiting where the church that where at that time that I was going to. And when she come and visited, and she visited about 2 or 3 months, and then her and her son come and they join the church. He was 6 years old when he comes.
But he was saying, he paid me. He says, "I know Jesus that my brother will say." And that little lad is 6 years old. He would be the first one on the altar. Sunday morning, Sunday night, if you come back on Wednesday night, and on Wednesday night. And he'd be up there weeping, and he'd be up there praying. You know who he's praying for? His dad. So who he's praying for? His daddy finally got saved. And I seen this. At that time, when he was 6 years old, I seen that boy about 2 years ago. He was in service at that time, and he was in on a leave. And I went up to him. I said, "No, you're not Lance, are you?"
"Yes, sir. Yes, the man you sure have brought one up now. And I'm looking up to him. But he loved the Lord. He loved the Lord Jesus Christ so much that he wanted his dad to know him. We've got to have a burden. We've got to have a burden in our heart
for a family.
If we don't have a burden in our heart and if about our family members and getting saved, we can't have the burden of someone else we don't know. Because we should have the burden for a family. And I'm not saying that we need to go and we need to browbeat them. We don't. We just need to go and
plant that little seed there. By the way, I got the seeds at the house.
Trying to come up. I'm trying to fix me little things on where I'm going to bring them, give them back. I'm going to try to have them here Sunday and give them out Sunday. Then I'm going to have a bunch up here for maybe during the revival. But we just need to plant that seed. Let God multiply the seed. Let God do that. Because God can do a whole lot better job than I can. And a whole lot better job than you can. Because when God does it, He does it right. He does it right. Father, we thank You, Lord Jesus, for this day. Now, Lord, we thank You, Father, for Thy presence. And we do thank You, Father, for the Damascus road that we once got upon. For Father, I'm not saying that I'm anywhere close to what Paul was after he got saved. But Father, I am so thankful that You have left us His writings, where the Holy Spirit has allowed Him to pin down what You would have Him to pin down upon paper. And Father, where we can read it and where we can be challenged by Thy Word. And Father, I'm so thankful that it's some Scripture that He give us. The Lord, that it's so many Scriptures there that I want to say, but Father, I just know right now that I know that You're here tonight. I know that. And Lord Jesus, I know You live within me. I know that I have the Holy Spirit. And glory be to God, I know that one day, after I run this race, and I may run a sloppy race for Thee, Father. But Father, when this race that I do run, I know that I'm going to be at home one day. I'm going to be up there with the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm going to be there with You also, Father. We want to thank You that we do have the Word of God that we can hold on to and hold close to our heart, Father. But Father, we must read it. We must study it. We must expound upon it, Father. We must let people know what Your Word says. Now, Lord, we ask Him, Father, for Your help today. Father, I'm asking this evening, Father, that You would just manifest Yourself here at Faith Baptist Church, Father. And Father, I pray, Lord Jesus, You go right to where the individual is tonight. Wherever they may be at, God, You will convict the hearts. And Father, we pray, Lord Jesus, as You lay someone on our hearts this week, help us, Father, that we may go to them and tell them that we love them and tell them that You love them. You went to Calvary. You died for them. And if they come back and say, well, I don't believe all of that, all they have to do is just trust You by faith. And if it's not so, and if it comes up to not be so real like we say it is, they haven't lost anything. If they don't think You're real, God, let them just come and come to church and hear Your message, God.
Father, help us this week. And Father, we pray, Lord Jesus, you will send revival to the people here. Not only to the people here, but my own heart, Father, and to the community. And not only to the community, but even to the city of Danville and even the county of Pennsylvania. Father, we need thy touch today. And Father, we need you today more than we ever have before. And we're so thankful, Lord Jesus, that you're just ready to come on the scene. You're just waiting to come in. Father, we love you and we want to thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior, we pray. Amen and amen. 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 All righty.
Well, don't be dismissed. I don't think we need no song. At least I don't. I've already had a song in my heart. Though in Psalms chapter 40, he put a new song in my heart. Ain't no hillbilly song. Ain't no rock and roll. It ain't no country and western. It's all about him. And on top of that,
ain't nothing nobody else will come up with that has not happened. Even people still...